Like I said, I had a really good day yesterday, and I was telling earlier, I had the kind of the redneck trio, if you will. I got to go, my dad and I went rabbit hunting with a friend, and we then I got to shoot some skeet with Sam, and then we had a wonderful meal at their house, and then I got a text out of the blue to go coon hunting. Even though coon season's out, we got to run the dogs, and it was just I was telling the folks this morning, you know, as I was standing out there under the stars, you know, that's the one thing I tell people all the time about being a hunter. It's not always about the kill, if you will. But there's just so much you see that most people don't ever get to see. And last night, folks, the stars were beautiful. And if you get out to where there's no light and, you know, it was like a great, cool night, you know, you just can't help but praise God. You know, and give him the glory. You know, we saw some shooting stars and just good company and good stories about the gospel and how the gospel changed our lives. You know, it was just a wonderful, wonderful day for me. And so I'm excited to be here this morning and give God praise and glory for that. And I hope that you've enjoyed these couple days that have been warm and been able to get out of the house and breathe some fresh air. And just ready to give God all the glory and praise this morning. So we pick back up, and we've been in Joshua, and I want to continue there again this morning, and I want to recap just a little bit about where we're at and what's going on. For those of you that maybe haven't been here, we've been working our way through the book of Joshua and how Joshua is leading the people, the Israelites, through the conquest into the promised land. We've crossed the Jordan River. We've conquered Jericho. We've been defeated at Ai. We've conquered Ai. And so now we're on to our next pilgrimage. But before we get to that part, remember after last week, okay, so the first conquest on Ai, remember that the sins of Achan ended up causing some serious problems and ended up resulting in some deaths. And I want to make a quick note. I think I might have misspoken whenever I said a couple weeks ago that 3,000 of the Israelite soldiers were killed. Actually, in that conquest Ai, only 36 men. That's not great, and it's still heartbreaking, but only 36 of those 3,000 were killed in that first conquest Ai because of the sins of Achan. The rest of them were able to make it back to camp. So those 3,000 men went up, and only 36 of those were slain. So I just want to put that little correction in there. But still, out of all of that, I want us to look back at that, and I want us to look at the conquest of Ai, and then I want to look at the next step that the Israelites make in their journey into conquering the promised land and getting or assuming what God had promised them. And so after the conquest there, so they find out that the reason that conquest didn't go well is, first off, they didn't pray about it. They didn't ask God if it was what they were supposed to do. They just went and did it. Secondly, the biggest thing was the sins of Achan. Achan's he took some things that were under the ban at Jericho, and it caused some serious turmoil. And that was a direct disobedience of what God commanded them to do. And so they got right. They pulled themselves up by the bootstraps. And I told you all a couple weeks ago, listen, there's going to be difficult times in your life where you just feel like you've hit rock bottom, where you feel like you've let God down, you're just defeated, you're hurting. And in that moment in time, you need to remember what God told Joshua. God told Joshua to get up. Get up, consecrate yourself, which means, hey, turn back to me, focus on me, worship me, okay? Get back up and get back to it. And that's exactly what God told Joshua to do. He said, get up, go, and take care of what I've commanded you to do. And so that's exactly what Joshua did. And so then they go back the second time to conquer Ai. And then instead of doing things on their own, they ask God what to do. Remember, God gives them that awesome battle plan that I tried to explain to y'all last week, but it was just too complicated. If you go back and you just try to think of north, south, and how they did that, it's an awesome plan, and it came from God, and it worked, and it conquered. They were able to conquer the people at Ai. But then after that, remember, Joshua took a weird a journey. He ended up taking them on a spiritual pilgrimage. And remember, they went to Mount Ebal. And remember, I told you about that bowl of mountains that they went to, and they had all the different people on all the different sides, and they had the Ark of the Covenant in the middle, and they began to worship and praise God. And they actually wrote out the entire book of Deuteronomy on these stones. They built an altar there, and they just gave God praise and glory. And this was a commandment that Moses had given to Joshua that they needed to do. And so Joshua was doing what Moses had told them to do. And so they do that. And so they're coming back off the spiritual high. And I want you to make the contrast here. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the failure, just hitting rock bottom and being in a place that is, you know, you just feel like there's no, you know, what else am I going to do? Okay. This week, I want to talk about the spiritual high. Okay. So we're in the valleys, we're on the mountaintops. The people of Israel have just conquered Ai. They've gone on a spiritual pilgrimage. They've been surrounded by other brothers. The Ark of the Covenant that shows the presence of God in their midst. They're worshiping God. They're praising God. And they're on a mountaintop experience. And they're coming back. And there's going to be a big mistake. There's going to be a big slip up. And it's going to cost them for years to come. And I want us to think about this morning as we move through these scriptures, how whether we're in the valleys or on the mountaintops, we need to be focused on God at all times. Because it's in the moments that we're on the mountaintops that we begin to let our guard down. And when we let our guard down, Satan slips right in there. And we begin to think in the mountaintop experience, you know what? I got this. I got this. Things are good. Things are great. And we begin to think that we can do it on our own again. And right then and there is when Satan slips in. And as I constantly refer to sin as a tick crawling up your leg, that tick begins to crawl up your leg. And Satan is looking for a place to dig in. And so I just want us to think about that this morning. As we move through these scriptures, we're gonna be in Joshua chapter 9 this morning. And we're going to talk about the Gibeonites. And the Gibeonites are pretty crafty people. Now understand that the Israelites have just come back from their spiritual pilgrimage. And so they're back at camp, back at Gilgal, and we'll find out that these crafty fellows called the Gibeonites come and hit them right in the moment, the pinnacle of their spiritual high. And so if you will, follow with me in Joshua chapter 9, verses 1 through 15 says this. Now it came about when all the kings who were beyond the Jordan in the hill country and in the lowland and all the coast of the great sea towards Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard of it, that they gathered themselves together with one accord to fight Joshua and the Israelites, and Israel. When the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they also acted craftily and set out as envoys and took worn-out sacks on their donkeys and wineskins worn out and torn and mended and worn out and patched sandals on their feet and worn-out clothes on themselves. And all the bread of the provision was dry and had become crumbled. They went to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal and said to him, and to the men of Israel, we have come from a far country. Now, therefore, make a covenant with us. The men of Israel said to the Hivites, perhaps you are living within our land. How then shall we make a covenant with you? But they said to Joshua, we are your servants. And Joshua said to them, who are you and where do you come from? They said to him, your servants have come from a very far country because of the fame of the Lord your God, and we have heard the report of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon the king of Heshbon and Og the king of Bashan, who was at Ashtaroth. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, take provisions in your hands and for the journey and go and meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Now then, make a covenant with us. This is our bread. This our bread was warm when we took it for our provisions out of the houses on that day that we left to come to you. But now, behold, it is dry and has become crumbled. These wineskins, which were filled, were new, and behold, they are now torn. And these are our clothes and our sandals, They're worn out because of a very long journey. So the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask for counsel of the Lord. Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them and let them live, and the leaders of the congregation swore an oath. In the first five verses there, we find out in those first five verses that word has spread that the Israelite nation is conquering these kings and taking over the land that is promised to them by God. And it begins to draw all these kings together for battle. But the Gibeonites, they're like, no, we know that we can't stand against Israel. Instead, we're gonna be a little bit more crafty. And so they send these men and they dress them up as if they've traveled a long way. And you got to understand a little bit of the context here to understand just how crafty these folks were. Because not only did they dress the part, but they had intel. They knew exactly what to say to Joshua. They knew not to bring up the recent victories of Jericho and Ai, because if they had traveled from a long way away, they wouldn't have known about that thus far. So they didn't even bring that up whenever they began to talk to Joshua and his people. They also knew that in the Mosaic law, the law in which Moses had put together, they knew that there was a clause in there. A clause that if you lived a certain distance away, that the Israelites could make a treaty with you and all would be well. But see, those people that were in the direct land of the promised land that God had promised them, those people had to be gone. And so knowing this, the Gibeonites come up with this crafty plan. They plan, they dress the part, and they make their way into the camp of Joshua and the Israelites. I want you to understand, folks, remember where Joshua and the Israelites are and what has happened thus far. They are on that spiritual mountaintop, and they come in, and I'm sure, and listen, whenever I read the stories of Joshua and I read about him, nothing that I read ever tells me that he was arrogant or that he thought that he could do it on his own. And that's important to remember, because I believe that there are some of us that are not arrogant or prideful, but we think in the moment when things are going good and God is really taking care of us and really moving us in the right direction, we begin to think, well, you know what, I think I can take care of this. I think I can handle this on my own. And that's exactly what happens to Joshua. Joshua, in this moment in time, he's meeting with these men and they begin to tell their sob story of how far they had traveled and how their people sent them because they were in desperate straits, dire straits of being demolished, and they needed help, and they just laid it on thick. They dressed the part, they had the intel, and they just so happened to catch Joshua at a spiritual high moment where he felt like maybe it was okay that we could go ahead and do this. Now listen, we're not going to get into this week about how the Gibeonite treaty is going to affect Israel. We're going to get into that next week. But what I want us to focus on this week is that spiritual high. Last week we talked about a spiritual low and being there in the bottom and focusing on God and letting him lead us. This week we want to talk about a spiritual high and how we can be on that mountaintop and be doing everything right and Satan just slip right in there. And the reason we do that is because we turn it on cruise control. I was talking last night with Josh Brown, the guy that I went with Coon Hunt, we were talking about his pastor preaches a sermon on the Tater family, imitator and procrastinator or something like that. And I told him about what I call that kind of Christianity is couch potato Christianity. That we get lazy, we get comfortable, and we feel like, hey, you know what? Things have been going well for me. Things I'm doing fine. And we begin to think that we can do it on our own. And before you know it, we've slipped right in. Satan slips right in there. And listen, I always tell people this too, that Satan, and I think I told you all this before, Satan is not, what we see in paintings and portraits of this big fiery red dragon that's going to come and attack you. Listen, Satan is just as comfortable giving you comfort, giving you an ease of spirit to where you just kind of relax and you just kind of begin to think, you know what? Things are going well for me. I'm just going to chill here. I'm comfortable where I'm at.
And when we begin to do that, we stop reading our Bibles. We stop reading our Bibles. We stop praying until the next thing hits us. And we realize, before we know it, that Satan has creeped in and he has dug in. And we've got a big issue in our hands. And that's exactly what happens to Joshua and the Israelites. These Gibeonites, they cooked up a pretty good plan. They had their clothes right. Their wineskins had patches on them. They certainly looked like a people that have traveled a long way. And listen, there are some mistakes and some failures on the part of the Israelites that they make in doing this. They don't when these people come, they hear the sob story and they take it in and they don't ask for more. They don't inquire. And I don't know if it's because Joshua didn't feel like he needed to bother God with this, but it is certainly something that he should have prayed about, something he should have counseled with God on. And we should have learned that from the mistake at Ai. When we sent 3,000 men up to battle, and 36 of our men were slaughtered. And so you have to understand that in those difficult times, in those spiritual high times, Satan can slip in just as easily. And so the first thing that I want to point out with Joshua and the Israelites is this. The first failure they make is in sampling their provisions. If you look in 14, In the middle of the verse there, in five and on, you see how they take their provisions. And in sampling their provisions, they accepted them as evidence, things that were highly questionable. And if the visitors were truly ambassadors with power to conclude a treaty with another nation, they should have had more substantial credentials. It was foolish of Joshua to not demand these things. So what I'm saying is this. Is that Joshua took, and again, this is that part of being comfortable and being on a spiritual high. He took that sob story, and he took the crumbly bread, the moldy bread, the patched wineskin, the patched clothes. He took all of that at face value. He took all that to say, you know what? These folks have traveled a long way. They really have put in the journey. And you know, again, they knew, the Gibeonites knew the law. They knew what the scriptures said about the Mosaic law, about making a treaty with a country that's far off. And so they were careful not to bring up anything that has just happened. The conquest at Ai, the Battle of Jericho, they didn't bring any of that up. And so they craftily slipped their way in. And so Joshua's first mistake was that he didn't consult God. He accepted the front, and he didn't question. Folks, there's a lesson there to be learned by us. That as Christians, and what we see in this world today that is packaged up and sold to us as Christian faith and Christianity, we have to be willing to demand more, to prod, to poke, to make sure that this, what they're presenting, lines up with what the scriptures said. We have to do our diligence in carving through all the surface material and making sure that what is preached and what we listen to and what we allow in our lives is from the gospel. That we are only letting those things in that are going to glorify God and help us in our conquest to share the gospel with all those we come in contact with. Joshua didn't consult the Lord, and he made a big mistake, and we'll get into that next week. The second primary reason for Israel's failure is stated in verse 14. As I already stated, the leaders did not seek the direction from God. Did Joshua think that the evidence to be so beyond the question that they didn't need advice from Yahweh, which is God's name in Hebrew? Did he think that the matter too routine or unimportant to bother God with it? Whatever the cause, it was a mistake, and trust their own judgment to make their own plans. This holds true for believers even today. Folks, we have to remember that we have to question the things that come at us, whether it be the gospel or whatever it might be. We need to question. We need to ask the Lord. Lord, is this what I need to be doing? Is this of you? We need to match that stuff up with Scripture. We need to make sure that it all adds up. And we need to be in constant communication with God. We need to remember that when we're on that spiritual high, Satan still can come after us. And we need to be ready and prepared for his battle. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 talks about the struggle and the battle that we have with Satan. And he talks about putting on the armor of God and preparing yourself for spiritual warfare. And when he talks about that armor in Ephesians chapter 6, he doesn't just say, hey, you need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. No. You just need to put on the helmet of salvation. No. He doesn't just tell you to put on one piece of the armor. He tells you to put it all on and stand firm. It doesn't mean put it all on and once you fought one battle, just chill a little bit and it'll be okay. He tells you to stand firm, to be at attention. Because as 1 Peter 5:8 tells us that the devil roars around like a lion seeking to devour his prey. You ever seen a lion chase a pack of zebras? You ever seen a lion stalk its prey? That's exactly what Satan is doing with you. Whether you're on a spiritual high or you're on the bottom, Satan is always looking for a way to get you to fall. To keep you down at the bottom or to knock you off that spiritual high. And so we have to be prepared to fight that battle. We have to be prepared to live for Christ each and every day. And that means that we consult him. That we don't make plans that are outside of his will. And I want to just jump over to James, what James has to say about us making foolish plans. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15 says this. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills it, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, in him it is sin. Folks, that passage talks about us making foolish plans without consulting God. Without asking God what it is that he wants for us to do. When we think we make plans for the future and we don't realize that our lives are short. Our lives are like a vapor in this world. And so we must consult God in everything. No matter if we're on a spiritual high or we're in the pits, we need to be in communication with God. Because what we're going to find out next week is that the Israelites pay for this treaty that they make with the Gibeonites. When the ruse is off and they find out that the Gibeonites only live about 6-7 miles down the road, okay, the hinges begin to fall off. And now they have to live, and this is going to be important, they have to live with the consequences of their sin. And we'll discuss that next week. But folks, what I want us to, again, to remember this week, the two things I want us to take away is this. We need to be willing to put in the work and the effort and question those things that are packaged up to us and sold to us as Christianity. Everything gets lined up against Scripture. Everything. Whatever we're doing, wherever we're going, all of that lined up against Scripture. We make sure that what that plan is that it lines up with what God's will is for our life. And secondly, and the most importantly, is this. That you spend time consulting God about the things in your life. And what that passage in James talks about is that you just don't go and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. No, you pray about it. You make sure that that is where God wants you to be because God has a plan for your life and for my life. And we have to consult him on a daily basis and make sure that first and foremost, we're following that plan. Secondly, that we know what the plan is. Well, actually, first, we need to know what the plan is. Secondly, that we're following that plan. And whatever, if we're veering off the path that God calls us back on, it's important that we constantly stay in communication with God. When we get out of communication with God, we get comfortable and we begin to fall into sin. And I think I've shared this with y'all before. One of my favorite movie clips is in God's Not Dead, the original movie. And the little old lady who has Alzheimer's is sitting there. Her son is this real powerful guy. And she has Alzheimer's and doesn't have much of a life. And she says, he says to her, he's sitting there in the dark. And he says, you've gone to church your whole life. You worship an almighty God. This is all sarcasm. You worship an almighty God, and yet you sit here, and you have no life. You can't even remember who I am. He says, and I have everything.
I have cars and I have houses and TVs and all this other stuff. And then in a moment of clarity, obviously his mother hadn't spoken to him in a while, she tells him that sin is like a prison cell. That Satan lets you come and go as you please. Until one day that door will close and you'll be trapped in your sin. And I love that scene. Because it is a right hook to this man who thinks he's got it all figured out. He thinks he's got everything. He's got the world by the tail. And nothing can go wrong for him. But what he doesn't realize is that even though she is struggling in this vessel here on earth, that she has a great gift in heaven. The glory that she's going to experience is much, much more than what he'll ever have here and accumulate on this earth. Because when he dies, if he doesn't have eternal salvation and through Jesus Christ, he's going straight to hell. And folks, I can tell you that there is no amount of goods on this earth that can ever compare to the eternal salvation that we have through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And if you have placed and invested your time in other things more that you think are more important than Christ, you need to check again. You need to be talking with God, because God, through the Holy Spirit, is going to begin to reveal to you the things that need to go, the things that are keeping you from a right relationship with Him. Maybe today it's not that for you. Maybe today you've been on a spiritual high. Just like the Israelites in Joshua, and things have been going well, and you're starting to let your guard down, and you need to realize, you need to pull that guard back up. You need to get back in the trenches and begin to study the Word of God and prepare yourselves for battle. We can celebrate the victories, folks. We can celebrate the victories and we give praise to God, but we need to be prepared, because Satan is preparing a battle. He is preparing a comeback. And so we must be on guard each and every day so that we don't have Gibeonites infiltrate our camp. The Israelites were deceived. And all of that will become unraveled next week as we begin to talk about it. But we need to remember that there can be mistakes made even on the mountaintops. The spiritual highs in our lives, Satan can still get to us. And so each and every day we must prepare ourselves. We must constantly be in communication with God and ask Him which way we are to go, what we're to do, and how we're to live our lives. I encourage you this morning. As last week we talked about the spiritual low, and today we talked about the spiritual high, to assess your life and to ask yourselves, where am I at? Where am I at? Have I become that couch potato Christian that I just got defeated and I just gave up, or I'm on that spiritual mountaintop and I've just kind of let it go on coast, on cruise control? So you can be a couch potato Christian in the bottom and on the top. We cannot let ourselves go into cruise mode. We have to focus on God. Maybe this morning you don't know who Christ is. Maybe you've never experienced that low. Maybe, I'm sure you've experienced lows, but you've never understood what it means to be on that spiritual high with Christ. Because you don't have a relationship with Him. I encourage you to find out what the Scriptures say about Jesus. And I'll tell you one right now, that John 3:16, one that we've all learned if you've ever been in a vacation Bible school or a Sunday school class, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, as you shall ever believe in Him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life." It's a passage that we see at football games and at basketball games. And the reason you see that is because everything is in that phrase. Everything you need is right there in that phrase. God so loved the world. That means God so loved you and He so loved me that He sent His Son to die on the cross for my sins and your sins. He died for your sins. That means His blood covers your sin. Not just part of your sin, not just certain sins, but all of your sins. And because of that, you can be redeemed. Because of that, you don't have to deal with that sin. Because of that, you can live a right relationship with God and draw close to Him. As the writer of Hebrews talks about, we can now draw close to our Father who is in heaven. As before, we were separated because that veil of sin kept us from God. But now that veil has been torn and we are able to draw close to God and have a right relationship with Him. And so why would we ever loosen our grip on God? Why would we ever get to the spiritual mountaintop and say, you know what, God, it's good. I'm going to get a little space. No, you need to pull up tight, draw up tight to God and hold on until He calls you home. Because Satan will slip in and Satan will begin to knock you down. Maybe you need a relationship with Christ this morning. Maybe you need Jesus in your life to begin to show you what life truly should look like and give you hope in the future. Maybe you're just struggling this morning. Maybe Satan has slipped in and he's just got his foot on your neck and it's hard and you're fighting and you're gasping. Folks, I encourage you to open the Word, open a line of communication with the Lord, and begin to talk and pray with Him. Ask for other friends that are our followers or believers that are fighting the same battle in their lives, and ask them to counsel with you, to pray with you, to disciple you, to teach you, to train you, whatever it might be, to get you up out, pull you up by the bootstraps, and push you on, shoulder you up. Folks, we are the church. Deer Creek Church isn't a building. It's not just a name. It is a body of believers that come together under the banner of Christ to push forward and to share the gospel with other people. Not only do we share the gospel with other people, but we should be bound together. We should be tight, unified, and fighting the good fight. We're going to disagree, we're going to have issues, we're going to have different problems, but the important thing is that we come together under the banner of Christ and we realize there are people that are out there who do not know who Christ is and they need a place that they can come and hear the gospel message preached and sung about and find people in a church that are living the gospel out in their lives. Because not only do we preach the gospel, we live it out. You can say all day that you're a Christian, and when you get on Facebook or you're at your job or whatever it might be, when you post those things, when you say those things, when you do those things at work, it continually tears away from your testimony of being a gospel-believing, following Christian. And so we must be careful what we say, what we post, how we live our lives. We must counsel with God daily. Because I don't know about you, but the one thing that I don't want to do, is cause any shame on my Father in heaven. And so I constantly, daily ask myself and make sure that I match things up with the Scriptures. That make sure that I'm living the life that God wants me to live. I'm not perfect. And I make a lot of mistakes. Boy, howdy. But folks, I have the gospel in my heart and I live for Christ. And I hope that you do too. I hope that you do too. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. And I pray this morning that you would do that very thing. That if you drifted from God, that you would draw it tight. If you have never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you would do that today. Before you leave this place. Because as I shared last week, if I walk out these doors and I fall into a hole and I die, or I get hit by a bus, I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. And I want you to have that same security too. Let's go to Lord in prayer.